Welcome back. You are listening to the most entertaining Iowa sports podcast in the world. That's facts. This one today, pretty self-explanatory. You saw the title. It's Big Tristan T-Daddy Wirfs. He joins us for, I don't know, the third or fourth time. He is entering his fourth year in the NFL. Just got ranked the third best tackle in the world, and he gives us the inside scoop on everything. Please enjoy. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Very good. All right. I'm just going to kick this fucker off. Welcome back. This is the Watch the Walk-Ons podcast, aka the Friendship Podcast. And today we're here with one of our good friends. Welcome back, Tristan. Thanks for joining us, buddy. And looking forward to it. It's been a little bit too long.
It has, boys. I'm excited.
What are we doing? How's the offseason?
It's good. I ain't doing much right now. Just training. My mom and sister got here today. So taking them out a couple places. And We start in a week and a half.
You're down in Tampa right now?
Yeah.
How hot?
It's been scalding the past 3 days. Dude,
it's disgusting. Yes. South of the Mason-Dixon line is a little bit ridiculous these days.
It's kind of been brutal. My mom's like, she got off the airplane. She's like, it felt like I got covered in a wet blanket. I was like, yeah, it's been disgusting.
Are
you living down in Tampa full-time right now?
Yeah, I live down here full-time.
All right, cool. So you spend your entire offseason out there training then?
Yeah, I just go to like the Bucks facility. I mean, it's free. Like, I love my strength coaches. Like, they know what I need. It's, you know, it's perfect.
It's a place to be.
Yeah, I love it.
Dude.
Dude, you're absolutely fucking massive.
You know, I was literally about to say that.
I'm looking beefy, you think?
You're looking beefy, boys. How many calories are we putting back a day these days?
I mean, not too many. I've been meeting with the Bucks nutritionist, and we're kind of putting like a plan together. Because I mean, I just keep getting bigger, so to speak. But like I put on 8 pounds of muscle since January, so it's like I'm not like getting like I'm just literally getting bigger. So it's like my body fat percentage has stayed the same. Like I just keep getting bigger.
That's terrifying that you can put on 8 pounds of muscle that quick. At your size, you have 8 more pounds of muscle to just put on that quick.
How do you guys measure that? Is there?
It's called the DEXA. It's like this body scan thing.
Yeah. I just did one 2 weeks ago. I was curious if you guys went that in depth with it, or you did some. The Bucks are in there doing the calipers. They're fucking.
Oh, we ain't got the Iowa calipers. No, yeah.
We talked about you a couple times on this podcast ever since I talked to you and you told me you were 360. I was like, boys, yeah. Tristan's looking big. Guess how big? And then I told him, now you're 368.
No, that's like my body. So my lean muscle mass has gone up, and my body fat has gone down.
That's absurd.
That is absurd. So yeah. You're just getting freakier. You started off ridiculously freaky and you got 8 pounds freakier.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, I've been lifting with, speaking of freaks, our right tackle, Luke Getteke.
It's funny that you said right tackle. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah, we can talk about that. But he's the strongest human being I know. It's insane.
More than you?
Oh my God, yeah. Lower body, like squats and stuff. We can do the same, but like bench and
what does he bench?
Incline bench. We did both hit. We hit 405 on close grip the other day. That was really exciting. That's the most I've ever done. I was so juiced.
So much weight.
And he took. I'm trying to set the stage. So it was 2 weeks ago. We were doing dumbbell incline, and we stop at 150. Like our dumbbell stop at 150s, and he's like. You know, we took a bunch of pre-workout, like we were just juiced. It was just us in the weight room. He takes the 150s for a ride. Like they're like, he's doing nothing. And then he's like yelling. He's like, we need bigger. He's like, we need bigger dumbbells. We need more weight. So he grabs like a big band, like an exercise band, and like puts in his hands around his back and then grabs the dumbbells does eight with the band, and he's like, "That's too light." Gets another band. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. He was probably doing 180 pounds.
Way more than that.
200 at least, maybe 225.
It was bizarre.
That is insane strength.
He's a tank. He's a freak.
So he's the right tackle, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
Who's left tackle?
David Bakhtiari broke this news to me in George's barn. He's like, "Hey, yeah." So David's been working out at George's out in Nashville.
Yeah.
Now he's out there. I don't know how he knew, but he came to me and he's like talking to me about, "Hey, Tristan's moving to left tackle." That's what he couldn't believe it. I was like, "I don't know anything about this." So he must know somebody on the inside.
Yeah, he's a wily vet. He's got connections.
Yeah, he's got somebody.
Yeah, he's been around. But I don't know. I mean, it was all over Twitter, but it kind of like wasn't confirmed and stuff. But I mean, I did all of OTAs, all mandatory mini camp at left. So
how's it feel?
I was really happy with how I felt ending mini camp. Cause I mean, it's a big change. But when you get down to it, it's the exact same. The technique's the same. All it is just backwards.
Split.
So it's just retraining your brain, retraining your muscle memory to do everything the other way. But I was really happy with how I felt at that point in the off season.
And you're well,
how were you feeling about the team, with BB12 finally hanging it up for good this time? How are we feeling moving forward?
I'm feeling really good. I mean, with how OTAs went, we didn't lose a lot of people. Like we lost, I mean, I know Tom's was a big part of that, but you know, all of our receivers are back, all of our D line's back. You know, I'm excited. I'm really excited. You know, we got new offense, you know, with Coach Canales, like it's been great. So I'm really excited. I know Tom was like a huge part of our success, you know, the past 3 years, but you know, we still got a lot of people.
You know,
a lot of dogs.
Goat, right?
Goat. Yeah. Absolutely.
Is there a weird like vacuum in the locker room when a guy like that leaves? Like he's so big, right? Like he almost carries this like aura of around him.
Absolutely. And
so when he leaves, is there a leadership vacuum? Is there a, or does it, you know, everything kind of just bleeds in and somebody takes over for this and this and it just feels all right?
I think at first there was kind of that like empty void, almost like you're like, "Oh, who's going to do it?" You know? And then I had, you know, a lot of conversations with coaches and stuff. And they're like, "Oh, like you need to step up now." I'm like, "Okay, like it's fine." And I mean, obviously I can't replicate the leadership role Tom had and Tom had in place, but you know, I've done my best to be more vocal and in that aspect of leadership, you know, cause I've always been kind of just, you know, head down, you know, lunch pail guy, go to work, you know,
You're the vet now, dog.
It's weird, dude.
You're the old man now, dog.
Weird to think about, but yeah, that's like, you know, we had rookie, you know, we have, I think I'm still the youngest O lineman.
That makes sense.
On the team.
Yeah. How old are you?
24.
Going into his fourth year in the NFL.
Sounds nice.
But it's weird, like having these guys like ask, you know, they're asking me questions now, like, "Oh, like how would you do this or how would you do that?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, I do know what I'm talking about." You know,
yeah, hell yeah.
I've been through it. I've done it. You know, so, but obviously not even scratching the level of what Tom, you know, can do and provide guys. But you know, I'm happy to fill that role and you know, do the best I can, you know, doing it.
I'm curious. What would you say the difference is in the characteristics needed of a leader in a college locker room versus like an NFL locker room? I feel like there's got to be a slight subtle differences, no?
Yeah. I mean, so like that's been a big thing for me still getting used to is like, you know, these guys go home to their kids and to their wives. You know, it's not like you're going home with your three teammates. You know, you're all living together in a college house, you know. And I feel like the leadership aspect in college is like, you know, the guy that is like winning the reps, you know, in the off season conditioning, you know, the guy that is going to give one or two breakdown speeches, you know, and it's, it, It's that's a good question. It's hard to kind of put it into perspective, but like, you know, you're trying to get a type of culture, you know, I think in on an NFL team, and you just want guys to buy in. And I feel like it's not harder to get guys to buy in than it is in college, but it's just different, you know, because like priorities are different, you know. Like in college, everyone's fighting for the same thing to get to the next level, you know. But these guys, you know, it's you're taking care of your family, you're going to provide for your kids, you got a mortgage to pay, you got, you know, so it's different. But I mean, I feel like when it gets down to it, it's just, you know, being the guy that people can lean on or look to, you know, in times of, you know, of distress.
It's weird. It's in college, you're
leaving a bunch of kids.
Yeah, I was just gonna say in college, in reality, you're like maybe a little bit of a man as an older guy leading a bunch of boys, right?
Yeah, it's you're a designated leader. Being a senior or a junior, so you're like, okay, yeah, I'll take that role easily. Whatever. And then, but now it's like
in the NFL, Tom's 45 last year. Motherfucker is.
Yeah, like
losing 40 million in FTX, and like he's got bigger issues, right? Like,
yeah, like,
you know,
like
for real,
like going through the shit that he went through last year, going through a divorce, like a very public divorce. Like, you know, he was dealing with shit.
So yeah,
it's like, okay, like,
and so
now he's banging Kim Kardashian,
which is wild. We like you,
you see, Tristan's.
That's funny.
So, man, it's weird to lead men, right? That's different.
Yeah.
You have to, in college, you can almost fake it, right? Like you said, Tristan, if you're winning the prowler rep, like, okay, you're the top dog. Like you're the beast, right? And,
yeah.
And a lot of young guys just look at the guys who do well at conditioning and who the coaches see doing the right things. People don't give a fuck about that. I mean, they do, but they don't care about that in the NFL probably. I mean, like, they're all men. Yep. They're all adults.
They're like the old, they're like, what are you doing sprinting?
Yeah.
They're like, slow down.
So you have to find this different, yeah, that's gotta be a weird, elevation of leadership. And yeah, you can't, I feel like you can't really fake it. I feel like if maybe in college you could fake it if you're the big, strong.
Like, Kyle's like the younger guys, you know, they don't know their ass from their elbow, right? But once you get in the NFL, guys are seasoned, you know, they can smell bullshit a mile away. So,
well, and everybody's a freak. So, like, you being a freak is no longer a leadership quality.
No.
It's
crazy.
And you are a freak. I mean, I just saw something on Twitter. I retweeted it that based on NFL personnel or whatever, or maybe it was somebody in the media, that you're ranked the third best tackle in the NFL.
Which is trash because he's top two, not two.
I think the only two above you were Trent Williams and
Lane, probably. Oh no, Tunsil.
Yeah, it was.
Lane was behind you.
No, it was Lane.
No, sure. Lane was fourth.
It wasn't Tunsil.
It might have been Tunsil.
It wasn't.
So, I feel like, honestly, the top 10
dogs.
They're all dogs. Trent's number one. I hate seeing, like, I try not to go on Twitter very much anymore because it's so toxic. It's so bad.
Bad place to be.
I just, it's terrible. But when I see people be like, oh, like Trent's not number, you know, just talking shit about him. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's the only lineman in Madden to ever be ranked 99. The stuff that he does on Sundays is disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Kittle said, we brought you up in our interview with Kill, and George was like, I know Tristan's a freak, but God damn, Trent is a freak.
Like, yeah. The way that he runs around, whether he runs around on Sundays, like
the way that he runs is ridiculous.
I was just gonna say, when you watch him as a peer, what sticks out to you in the nerdy tackle way of watching film on Trent Williams?
Just how, like, out in space, like, we don't get out in space all that often. I didn't get out in space all that much just with the offense we ran for the past 3 years, but like this and like seeing him in San Fran, just the offense that they run, like he's just thriving. It's not fair. You know,
horse run, huh?
Oh yeah. They're just like,
they here you pin go, and pull and let fucking McCaffrey run behind him. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That's such a dirty combo.
It's a cheat code, you know, but I love Trent. You know, I've looked up to him for a long time, and I actually got to hang out with him at the Pro Bowl, which was one of the coolest things I've gotten to do. Like,
I was just going to ask if you'd met him.
Oh my God. I was like, I was giddy as a schoolboy. I was like, we were doing these drills for the Pro Bowl and he didn't want to do them. So we switched jerseys and he gave me like his bucket hat and his sunglasses and like his chains. And I was like, these are as much as my house. And I was like doing the drills, but he's like, hey, like we're doing such and such. Like tonight, I said, he's like, if you want to come? I said, yeah, I do.
As a matter of fact,
I was like, I had plans, but I don't anymore.
Cancel them. I'm like, Meredith, we're not doing this. We're going here. But no, he's super nice. I mean, he looks scary. Like I was nervous to meet him, but he gave me.
How big is he though? Like, dude, you're what are you, 6'6"?
6'5". He's 6'5".
Okay, so you stand eye to eye.
Yeah.
So it's two absolute grizzly bears.
Grizzlies.
Oh yeah, it was so cool. Just getting
that's tremendous that he just threw his chains on you and said, "Hey, go run these drills for me.
Do these for me."
Like that's normal.
He's like, "Here you go. Put all three of them on." I was like, "Oh my god, this is kind of heavy." But no, he's a super.
I don't know where I put them. Sorry,
feels like a squat bar.
Yeah, I was like, I swear, I just had him.
I just had him.
Stuffing him in my bag. But no, he's an awesome, awesome guy. You know, and he gave me his jersey after we played the 49ers. And I was like,
shit,
starstruck, dude. But watching him play is unreal. Like, I think every tackle like wishes they could do what he can do.
Yep.
If you had to pick a single player and just clone them 11 times, and that's your football team, is he the guy you're picking, or is there somebody else in the league that you want as that's your team? Yeah, 11 of that guy.
I would pick Trent Williams.
Really?
If you could imagine walking out any level, any age, he could be any age he's played. Imagine walking out in a high school game and seeing 11 Trent Williams's. Imagine walking out to a college. You're a freshman in college. You walk, you see 11 Trent Williams.
I think that's it. It really is an interesting question. Micah Parsons would be.
I think he runs like a 4.7. So, I mean, like, you can get him the ball. I'm sure he could do something with it.
Yeah.
Get loose. Like,
easily. Be insane.
Is there anybody else who's an honorable mention for you?
Probably.
Got to be somebody you blocked, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be one of the star defensive
ends. I just said Micah Parsons would be.
I was thinking Chandler Jones.
Chandler Jones. I've never blocked Chandler Jones, but I've watched him. And, yeah, he fits the bill.
Yeah.
11 Micah Parsons would be disgustingly dangerous.
Yeah.
That would be brutal.
How about 11? How about 11 Josie Jules? Can you imagine just the size of the chip on the shoulder of that team?
the collisions in that game would be catastrophic.
Might have trouble blocking people, but the effort's going to be there.
Oh, outworking everybody.
Yeah.
The finish and the grit on that team would be through the roof.
I jumped in a minute late. Did that first conversation come up with the video of you squatting the other day?
I haven't seen the video of him squatting.
You didn't see him squatting? Saw a couple of reps. I think Tristan posted it himself, right?
Yeah, it was last Friday, I believe.
Yeah, sounds right.
Right before the Luke Combs concert, yeah.
What'd you have on the bar?
5:45.
Okay.
We did 5:65 this week, and it moved, I don't know how, a lot faster than the 5:45 did. I don't know.
5:45 moved.
Well, that's because you're
fast.
Up 8 pounds of muscle in a week, so that makes sense.
Dude, you're moving that bar fast. Are you using a Tendo unit on that?
Yep. Yeah.
So you're doing speed reps at 5:65.
Yeah, just measuring it. We measure like peak power. Peak
that's
velocity.
The most important stat. Peak power.
Peak power. Was it max velocity and stuff? And I think we do max velocity when we bench, but no, it was. I mean, I feel like I've gotten so much stronger this offseason, like lifting with Luke. Like, we just go hard in the weight.
It doesn't make any sense, to be honest. I just like with how strong you already were, it just doesn't compute.
I know it's like he's He's so strong, but it's
so cool. You think the environment and your lifting part, that's why, dude, I think I lift him alone in my garage. And sometimes I wonder, dude, if I just had a couple training partners, I think they could.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
I did that. I lifted by myself most of last offseason. Like it's nice, you know, especially going, like if I had a home gym, it'd be like hard to be like, okay, like I got to go do it now. But like going into the, you know, into the weight room, like I know I got a squat day. It's, you know, I mean, my strength coach is with me, but like now having Luke, it's like,
you got to have a homie, man. Otherwise you're just fucking headbutting a wall.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
Yeah, and now it's just like we just headbutt each other pretty much. Like yeah. he's just a meathead, you know, and we just like, we'll like, we always try and like beat each other like on speed. Like the, it was funny. We tied on the, or no, one, so, the 545, he beat me in the speed, and then 565, I beat him. So it's just, we just like, you know, we just yell at each other, just screaming in the back. We lived in the back corner, just screaming at each other. Like, I fucking won, you know, like just calling each other names, just moving weight. Like, it's been so fun, you know?
Do you think anybody,
the bro sessions that stories are made of, dude, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Do you think anybody, cause that's kind of not a thing that happens in the league, right? Like, a lot of people are just injury, you know, like injury prevention, strength maintenance, speed maintenance. Like, dude, you know, the best availability or the best ability is availability, right?
And we have that painted in our training room,
right? And I'm so, sure. You know, like some might say 565 speed squats, a little dangerous, you know, like. But
you know what I do love though, you're right, and I feel like a lot of guys kind of go towards that just maintenance and prevention and stuff. I sent that video to Coach Doyle and he was like, he said, that was easy, ! And then he said, I'm glad you're still sticking to the basic. A lot of guys get away from that. Keep grinding. I was like, that made me, I was so excited. You know, I was like, this is incredible. You know, I love,
dude, I'm Coach fucking Doyle. Leaving. I'm going Doyle. To squat right now.
Yeah, like, shout out to the GOAT, bro. This is a Coach Doyle podcast.
Yeah, like I can't wait for tomorrow now. Now we're talking about squatting. I have a squat tomorrow, so I'm so juiced now.
Let's get your piss hot for a Monday morning, huh?
You can't beat it. I'm gonna watch the Arnold documentary and just get,
oh come on.
Just get out of my mind.
What pre-workout do you take?
Lit AF. Sometimes I do lit AF and then I do like a scoop of C4 with it.
Oops. This guy's trying to get the nuclear codes.
I love the beta Alan.
Yeah, that breath, tingle, like, baby.
The bugs, dude. You know, get the bugs on your skin. It's the best.
Dude, it hit me in the quads yesterday. I had some tight compression shorts on. I could just feel it building. Oh,
I love me and Luke take it, and he's like, we do like a longer one because like, we gotta wait till the pre workout kicks in. He's like, I gotta get the tingles. I'm like, yeah,
get a little sweaty, get a little hot.
You guys really are fiends, dude. I gotta get the tingles first.
No, we got it. Like, I'm telling you, we carry around the little chalk stand with us wherever we go. Like, it's crazy.
Dude, that's like some old school Drake weight shark kind of behavior mentality right there.
Oh yeah,
Drake lost that. He's half the man he used to be in the weight room, but
hey,
he's twice the man he ever was in hand to hand combat. So there's that.
Dude, shout out to AQ Shipley, by the way.
Shout out to AQ,
big shout out to AQ Shipley.
Yeah, Drake's been training with him.
I think he's been spending a lot of time with family recently. Haven't seen him since I've been back in Tennessee, but
I'm just going to drop his location. I think he's in San Diego right now. He's training, or my teammate Bob Hainsey, it trains with him. And I think they're in San Diego right now. He goes for like a month. But yeah.
San Diego is decent. Good spot.
It was cool to talk to AQ about you. He was kind of like the way that you talk about Trent Williams is the way AQ talks about you. So it was pretty fun to have somebody in the gym where I could be like, yeah, you fucking get it. And I told you a story about how I tried to buy 10% of you like a fucking racehorse. And he really appreciated that story too.
No, AQ is an all-time guy. That's awesome.
G-Bone.
Yes.
Ask Tristan a question. This is our intern, our producer, G-Bone, and he's the fucking man.
What's going on, Tristan? It.
How are you doing, brother?
What's going on? So I got two questions for you here. So first serious one, can you talk about what the NFL overseas games are like? Is it like tougher than the next week to play with all the travel? Can you just describe the process of playing overseas in Germany?
Yeah. So I got to have my first one this past season when we went to Germany. I remember that week, it was always like, okay, like it was whatever team won the previous week, you know, we were going to pretty much copy their schedule. So it was either go over Thursday or go over Friday. I think if I'm not mistaken, I think we went Friday, but it's just, you know, they make sure you have a bunch of, not supplements, but just like make sure you're able to sleep on the plane, and they like try and like keep you awake. So, you know, try and get on the sleep schedule as fast as possible. We were practicing.
That's ambient for y'all.
No, I wish. It's like dream water. I don't know. It's this little, it looks like the pickle juice shots.
That's Mike's secret sauce or whatever.
Melatonin, 5-HTP.
Yeah.
Zinc or magnesium or whatever it is.
HGH.
There we go. Now we're talking.
I like the whole trip. You know, we still have downtime to go kind of explore like the city we're in. You know, we still practice, kind of try and treat it as a normal week as much as possible. And I liked it. I mean, playing in Germany was unreal. The fans were some of the loudest I've ever heard. It was crazy. And then the flight back was a lot of fun. I like that. Yeah. But I think it's more fun if you win than it is if you lose. But it was a good time.
Yeah. It's got to be like exponential, right?
You guys get any free time in Germany to hang around and go see some shit?
Yeah. It would have been... I can't remember what day. It might have been the second day we were there. But there was an old concentration camp that was there. That's like, it's like now like a tour, like a tourist thing. And I can't remember the name. But a lot of guys went to that, said it was pretty eye-opening. And a lot of guys went to like downtown and got to go to the shops and everything. But yeah, they make it. So it's a pretty normal week. A lot of guys went to dinner, like
have some German beer.
Wiener Schnitzel.
That's all I want. I just wanted the German beer. I just wanted to try it.
Was it good?
No, I didn't do the Das Boot. I should have bought one and brought it home, done a Das Boot on the plane.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should have been Das Booting on the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. It's got to be annoying. Like, on one hand, it's the NFL's pursuit to, like, globalize, right? They're trying to get more overseas fans. I mean, the NFL makes so much money, and they just continue to make so much money. They're a great brand. Yeah. And to the point where like, I've heard about expansion teams over in Europe.
I have heard a little bit about that.
Can you imagine how brutal that would be if you're playing the NFL, you make it to the NFL. And now all of a sudden you've got to get shipped over to fucking Germany for the season.
Yeah.
That would suck ass.
I don't know where I saw it, but like, it was kind of like, it might have been just somebody's like mock-up or like, you know, their idea of what would happen. But it was like, there's like a certain amount of teams over there and they all play each other. And then they'd come play like, you know, a month here against like the NFL teams over here.
It'd be a long trip. Yeah.
Yeah. Just the way it wouldn't be like, you know, they're flying like back and forth. Right. It'd be like blocks of games. I feel like that's when I was reading it. So, which would still, you know, still suck, you know, flying cross country or, you know, cross an ocean three times a year.
I feel like that could get guys to retire. Like legitimately, if the NFL expanded to Europe and they were like, okay, for expansion teams, like guys just get picked. And then
imagine you get traded.
You said what?
Imagine you get traded.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. Like
Mid-season, now you're just all of a sudden you got to brush up on your fucking Dutch. Are you shitting me?
Off to Holland. Francais. Not to mention, though, that that much flight time, that much travel is, I'm pretty sure, like highly linked to increased injury. Like,
oh my gosh, yeah.
The amount of time you have to sit on a plane. I know for you guys, you know, the team planes, you know, maybe you're able to recline and relax, or maybe even get like the nice like bed planes where you all have a somewhere to lay down. But still, man, like that kind of, it takes away from the recovery. It gets you out of your normal routine of being at your facility in your hot tubs, in your massage room, all of that stuff. And like, is it worth it to have more in? I don't know. It's tough, but it's not like you guys are going to be able to stop that from happening. So
yeah, I don't know if we'll have much say in it. If it does come to that, I don't know how much say we'll have, but it'll be, I don't know if it's happening anytime soon. So that's
yeah. I mean, who knows? You could be, well, I mean, you might play for the next 15 years. So who knows? I would love to
see your offensive tackle. That would be,
how old is Trent?
Really a pretty big fucking milestone.
He's 30. I want to say 34.
So on 12
or so,
12 or 13 in the league.
That sounds right.
Sheesh. It's a lot of miles.
He's 34.
Think about that. He's in year 13 doing what he's doing.
Talk about city miles.
It's just getting ridiculous.
My guy's got lineman miles, tackle miles on him.
Yeah. Woof.
Woof is right.
Gotta be. I have to imagine with the size that of humans that you are, it's gotta be the hardest position of longevity in the NFL. Because your body's, yes, maybe linebackers or running. I mean, running backs take a beating.
Running backs, brutal.
Maybe running backs, but then linemen, man. Like, just because of how big, like, I understand you're 360 and athletic, like, four times as athletic as the three of us combined, the four of us combined, including Grant. But the human body is not built to carry that much weight and run into other human beings at that, those speeds for 13, 15 years. Like, it's just not.
Yeah. And that's what's, you know,
do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what, like, you know, that plan I was talking about with the nutritionist for the Bucks is like, they're like, cause like in the off season, like all, like I squat, I bench and I eat. And drink the occasional beer, you know.
Yeah. Well, Friday afternoon comes around once a week.
Yeah. So it's just like I just get bigger in the off season, but I like, I started training 2 weeks after the season ended. Like I've just been, that's what I do. But then like, once the season rolls around, like with how much I sweat, with how hot it is down here, like I'll get down to 52, 50. And it's just like, I fluctuate so much. It's ridiculous, but it's like,
you're going to float away at 350.
I'm telling you, I need an anchor or something. But they're like, that's, you know, it's a lot to be walking around, you know, on your joints, on your knees and your ankles, everything. And I feel like it's longevity is it's being that, all of us being that big, doing what we do, you know, it's a lot of pounding and everything. So it's just, you don't see that often. You don't see a Jason Whitworth play for 15 years.
Okay. Is the goal to play as long as you possibly can, or do you have like a kind of time frame in your mind where you want to hang them up by?
Probably just as long as I can. I know a lot of guys always say 10 years, and then the guys that I've seen or that I've talked to, you know, the 10 years comes and they're like, ooh, I'm still playing. You know, it's like they're like, no way. You know,
I ain't ready to spend all that time at home yet. Fuck that.
Yeah, like that's all everyone's known. That's all we know is playing football.
Well, with every passing year, you get deeper into the identity of this is who I am, you know, like
exactly. So I feel like it gets harder and harder to walk away. But, you know, Coach Bowles said something to us in camp. He said, very few people get to walk away under their own accord, you know? So it's like, you got to make a tough decision one way or the other. You know, you're going to keep playing, and you know, when you get up there, it's like you keep playing and be like, okay, do I want it to end not on my terms, or do I want to, you know, can I, am I in the place to walk away now and be okay? You know,
Tom said, fuck it to a supermodel. He wanted another year.
Dude, back, since we're back on Tom, dude, I had this whole thought going through my head when we were talking about the boot of Tom. He's just got a couple of mail order German hookers and a bunch of boots on the plane. And there's a disco ball and there's lights. And it's really, it's quite the scene that goes on in my mind thinking about that.
I think that's a fantasy that you're having. I don't know if that would ever happen.
He's Tom Brady. He's single Tom Brady. He's a menace.
I remember trying to... I remember trying to get Tom to have a little Jack Daniels with me on the plane. I was like, where's Tom sitting? And he was like 4 feet in front of me. I didn't even know. He's like laying down, eating a cookie. I'm like, Tom, I was like, come back here. I was like, I got a little JD. He's like, I'm good, big T. I was like, all right. So I left him be.
Tom Brady calls you Big T. Come on now,
dude. The Tommy loves Tristan, Tristan loves Tommy thing. That's phenomenal.
That was really cool. And somebody asked me, they're like, "How's your and Tom's relationship like off camera?" Because like that's all everybody sees was like stuff like that. But that's how it was. You know, he called me every time he sees me. He calls me Big T. Like that video was like our whole relationship. Like that's how it was.
That's sick. Awesome. So sick. Has there been any moments for you? Cause I think, so back it up. We went to tight end U with Kittle and stuff.
Yeah.
And for me, even being an acquaintance, former teammate of George, right? But the last time that I had seen George was in college.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't the George that he is now. And now to see him on his property, and he was shooting a commercial the first day we were down there, and he was, PMT Barstool was there the second day that we were down there. It's just like, you know, he's Hollywood. Like he's George Kittle.
He is. He is.
And to sit there in his gym, his barn gym, and just be like, this is a very unique, cool opportunity for me. Like it almost doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
Do you have those moments? Like for someone that plays in the NFL and like, what is it like? That happens for you when you have this dissociation moment in life and you're like almost watching yourself live your life. And it's like, damn, this is cool.
There's like a couple. One was when I was just talking about the, like hanging out with Trent Williams in Vegas. Cause I'm like, this is insane. I was with George too. And like walking, everyone knows George, like
everybody,
anywhere you go. Like that was like walking around with him. Like, I mean, I was in this one casino there, like, gambling, and then George comes, like, oh, come back here with us. I'm like, I can't go back there. He's like, yeah, you can. I'm like, this is where George Kittle's go. Yeah, I'm like, this is where George Kittle, yeah. And then another one where, like, I felt like I was, like, watching myself was the Luke Holmes thing.
I was going to ask you about that, dog. What was that like?
That was crazy.
I was like, this isn't real. Like I've never been like, you know, people are like, oh, like this is like a movie. Like that felt like a movie. I remember standing like backstage, leaning up against something, holding the two beers, gonna go out to the shotgun, just looking. I'm like, what am I doing right now? Like, this is insane. I'm like, are you serious?
Like, you fucking murdered it though.
Oh, I had to. I haven't shotgun in a while. But I'm like,
but let's take right it back to top of the fridge Snapchat in 2018, 2019.
We know that
Big T can put down a shotgun.
Yeah.
That used to be your pacifier for the night.
Yeah. That's how I nestled in the bed. And I was like, going up there, like I was nervous. I had like a dream about it. I'm like, well, what if I do this? Like, what if I spill all of it? But I'm like, I was like walking up the stairs and it's like my lock in moment. I'm like, yeah, I was like, I'm good. I didn't even feel it.
It's like coming out of the tunnel, you know?
Yeah. I was like walking out there. I was like, oh, let's ride.
And he was in an arena, right?
He was in our stadium. He was in Raymond James. That's what I'm saying. Like,
Jesus Christ.
He wasn't just 60,000 seats.
Those were all sold. The entire field was, there's 100,000 people there.
Oh my God, he's doing numbers. Holy shit. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
he's... So, do you know Andrew Stone?
I know of him. He played with you guys, didn't he?
Yeah. So Stiz is a hell of a dude, country musician. He was on tour with Luke Combs when Luke Combs was nobody. Luke Combs was the opener for Tucker, who was the opener for, was it Aldean? Who did he say?
Did you guys just talk about this?
Yeah, we just had him on the podcast.
Yep.
It was Dierks Bentley.
Oh, yeah. And they were on tour with Dierks Bentley. And about halfway through the tour, all of a sudden, Luke Combs became the most popular country musician of all time. And people were showing up to Dierks Bentley shows for him and then leaving.
Yeah.
And then leaving afterwards. Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Like,
no.
Being like the headliner guy for the show. You're like, you're watching. You're like, oh, there's a lot of people here. You go out and it's like half of them are gone. Like, ooh.
Dude.
Let's just say I don't think Dierks invited Luke Combs back. He had other things to do.
Yeah.
Dude, how does that work?
I slid in his DMs, dog.
Straight
Swear?
Up.
And you said, I'm just going to come to your concert?
So I messaged him on Instagram. Cause you know, I love Luke Combs. I've listened to his music since I was in high school.
Which was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Which was like last year. Legitimately, when did you graduate high school? 2016?
2017.
Unreal.
That's
so disgusting. Continue.
So last year when the tour was announced, I messaged him. I probably had a little liquid courage, but I was like, hey, like, saw you're in Tampa next summer. Like, I can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm gonna come see you. And he messaged me back and was like, hell yeah, dude, it's gonna be awesome. And I was like, I was losing my mind. I was like, Luke Combs messaged me back, dude. I was like, this is crazy. And then Probably month and a half ago, like, I messaged him again. I said, hey, my agent saw you in Boise and Nashville, said the show was absolutely insane. I'm like, I can't wait. Let's have some beers after, something along those lines. And he said, hell yeah, man, you got to come on stage and shotgun with me. And I showed it to like my marketing lady. I said, can this actually happen? I said, is this real? She's like, I'm on it. And she knew some people that like worked on his team and stuff. And so then like his head of security was texting me like, meet here. Like, we'll come bring you up to the suite. Like, get you settled in. Then we can go hang out like down by the stage. We can go hang out with him in the locker room before the show and stuff. And
fuck.
And then they're like, we're going to come get you at this during this song. I'm like, okay. Like, we're down like in the family section, like just to the left of the stage.
Yeah.
And dude, it was one of the coolest experiences of my life, dude. Just being, I was singing my eyeballs out, dude. I was just screaming the whole time. And then they're like this guy taps me and say, hey, we're going. And go up there and they like give me a rundown of what's going to happen. And then we went and did it. I kind of blacked out. I was like, I started singing. They're like, no one's gotten the words right the whole tour. I'm like, come on.
I'm like, dude, I am, bro. I'm a real like, fan.
Yeah.
That's
it was so insane. It was so sick.
What type of beer?
He's a big Miller Lite guy.
Okay. I figured he wasn't a Mulvaney fan.
No, he's a seasoned vet too. Cause they're room temperature Miller Lites. You can't have them screamers.
I was like, my guy. Yeah.
Just a,
we're brain, trying to get
a,
drunk, not hurt ourselves.
A brain that blast.
Does, you know, just the feeling when you shotgun a cold one, you're like, oh,
the anxiety I used to get before having to shotgun a tall boy, a cold tall boy.
Oh,
I'd rather go play in traffic, dude.
Yeah.
Well, you'd rather go play in traffic than probably 50% of all things you could do. So that's such an insane experience. I just can't even imagine it. Like,
it was nuts. Just a
hometown boy from Mount Vernon, huh?
Come on. Yeah, dude.
Shout out to Dirty Vern.
Shout out to Vern. They're the best.
What's Vern looking like these days?
They're getting a new football field, like new complex.
Are they naming it Tristan Worth Field?
You beat me to it, dog.
No, I got the throwing area, the shot put discus area, though.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Sick. That's dope. I always had like these dreams of grandeur that like I would come back to Marshalltown High School and the weight room would be named after me. And then I didn't do anything close to cool enough to fucking one, have enough money to pay for that, or two, have the notoriety that anyone would care or know who I am. So that's tough.
That's incredible.
You know, like I think that's so sick.
Yeah, no, I mean, cause I live down here full time now. Like I don't go back all that often, but you know, I always go, you know, see some of my teachers, you know, see my coaches and stuff. My wrestling coach, like we hang out, like we talk all the time. I forgot to text him back. He texted me yesterday. Aaron Truitt, like he's the man, you know, he knows it too.
We got Ryan Morningstar on here. He's the fucking man too.
Oh yeah.
Morningstar's sick.
I kind of grew up with his little sister, Maddie. She was a grade below me. I mean, they went to Lisbon, like half a mile apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small world.
Yeah. G-Bone, you said you had two questions. We only got through one.
I was going to ask about Luke Combs, honestly.
Oh.
But I have kind of a new question though. So like, where does it, I'm assuming you're a country music fan. Who are like kind of your guys that you're into right now? So obviously Luke Combs, but like who else is on the, I want a shotgun, a beer on stage with this guy list.
Well, there's two goats coming in August. George Strait is his farewell tour. It's George Strait's farewell tour, and Chris Stapleton are playing together.
Oh, that's a great one. George Strait since I met you, dude.
Yeah, that's like Coy put me onto that. Coy put me onto George. So I think the team is trying to do something, because I think it's like we have a day off the next day on the camp schedule. I think the team is trying to put something together. So
Team movie. You're going to a Team George Strait concert.
The buses are coming, boys, and we're going to a fucking concert. That's awesome.
Gonna be a rowdy boot scooting good time.
Yeah, so that would be major. But those two, you know, who's been kind of gnarly is Coulter Wall. Coulter Wall's badass.
Like, dog, we went to see him.
Weren't we talking about him
in Arizona?
Is it sick?
He's nasty. Yeah,
so good.
I use Sleeping on the Blacktop as one of my walkout songs once.
Oh yeah,
it's a dope 100%. Song.
Is Drake? Is that the guy who we were talking about in the Benton chat the one time that Ike was talking about?
No? He may have been talking about,
or is it a different guy?
It's another guy.
But Bo was super into him too. Okay. Like we looked up his music videos. Oh, he was like kind of like low key stuff.
I'll get back to you on that name. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, they're like I listen to a lot of Tyler Childers too. Like, there's whatever I like. Drake, you probably Tennessee Orange, Megan Maroney.
Yeah,
that's my song, dude.
I've been hearing that all over,
dude. I played that probably 550 times in a span of 3 days.
One of my guilty pleasure songs right now is "That's Why We Fight" by Ella Langley. You know that one?
No,
what?
That's Why We Fight, Ella Langley. I also have to listen to it.
You know it pisses me off. Oh, no?
Drake listening to that song. It's such dope. A great vision of Drake listening to that song right there.
It's phenomenal, dude. I'm in my car just screaming it.
Oh, yeah. That's the best.
Oh, that's funny as shit.
Yeah, check it out though. You might like it.
That's why we fight.
What's your schedule right now? When I mean, you guys are about to start, right?
Yeah, we're coming up quick. We start. We report July 25th.
Shit, you got 9 days.
Yeah.
And then it's like
it was just May. I swear it was just May.
It was, and so in 9 days it kind of locks down. Like it's time to go. It's go mode.
Oh yeah. Like we'll have kind of a deload week this week in the weight room. Like, but just, you know, do your thing, you know, we'll go in tomorrow and, you know, have a good week. And then what we start next, it's next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then it's, you know, then we're in camp, but then we have physicals the 25th and practice the 26th.
And hopefully you go through February 2nd or whatever it is.
Damn, you tried damn near in March by now with how many weeks they're trying to add for y'all.
Yeah, I mean, that's all they want to do. They want to add weeks, and like, you guys are good. You don't need an extra bye week. Your guys' bodies are fine. Play 20 weeks. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
Yeah, it's cool.
We're not even going to pay you for all of them either. And then when you make the playoffs, we're going to give you like 8% of your normal game check.
Yeah.
But then we're going to make $900 billion off of our TV deals for the playoffs.
We're going to sign a $2 trillion Amazon deal, and it's all good.
It's all good.
$2 trillion.
You guys are going to end up playing 37 games a year. And have you seen? Season is just going to be concurrent.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they're going to play every other weekend for the entire year.
Have you seen that video of, it's like just a collaboration of memes. It's just like when the NFL goes to an 80-game schedule, and it was like Lyman in week 46, and it's like the turkey leg, the meat just falling off the leg.
That's funny as hell. Oh, yeah, man, I don't know how much they can run you into the ground. It gets really weird with the, you know, like the Players Association, then like having to basically fight for your rights and continually like ask for more and more because they're expecting more and more out of you guys.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know.
Jackson Dean, Tristan.
Yeah. Jackson Dean.
That's the guy. Me. Okay.
You heard of
okay.
Jackson
I'll
Dean?
No, I'll have to check him out. Jackson Dean.
He's the man. Okay.
He's good. I don't even listen to music, but when we were talking about him the one time, I looked him up. He was good. Going back to your training, working out.
Mm-hmm.
So we know you and other guys like you who are just, you have the perfect formula. You work hard. You've been into sports and lifting for a long time since you were a kid. You were born with the genetic piece, right? There's a genetic component to it. I think of a guy like Brandon Smith, just shredded out of his mind, just absolute.
Oh yeah.
Unbelievable.
Avatar.
I thought he was a defensive end when we were getting recruited together.
Probably could have been. But if you wanted, like if you wanted to put 70 pounds on Brandon Smith, probably be a D end.
I would have loved to have seen Brandon Smith in jumping events in track and field.
Oh yeah.
Have you looked it up?
Well, I've seen it was either his mom or dad was an absolute legend when it comes to it. And I know how high he can jump. So
yeah, he's springy.
But so there's this like perfect formula for you guys to be the elite of the elite, right? The 1% of the 1% when it comes to working out. I think a lot of people on the outside who have never been with, didn't spend days with you in college, never have been around athletes like that. They assume that a lot of professional athletes, like just all the professional athletes, are on drugs.
Yeah.
We know you. Right. I mean, I suppose you could be shoving needles in your ass down there in Tampa. Who knows? But pretty sure you're not.
You got to watch the needles in Tampa, though. You don't want to just get any needles.
You might. Yeah. It might be something different in there.
Scary stuff down here.
So, yeah. but have you ever heard or have you heard rumors from older guys or guys who have been trained? Like, do you know of any drug use? Does it ever get talked about on the down? You don't have to like rat anybody out here, but
yeah, no, not to what people think. Like I know, you know, I like the rumors and stuff like that's what people are like, oh, like he's got to be on, you know, he's got to be on steroids or whatever, but it's not like, so I started taking creatine this off season.
Smart.
And that's like, it's always been whey protein. Yeah. Like that's what my whole, or the core 42s. That's what we have.
Yeah.
And I'm like my Luke takes creatine. He's like, and I always thought like, oh, like I'll get too big. Like I'll gain too much weight if I take creatine. So I never did.
Sure.
But it's like all the other benefits that creatine helps your brain recover.
Yeah. Like there's a ton of research coming out cognitively on creatine.
Yeah. And creatine is one of the most studied supplements. So it's like, I don't know why I wasn't taking it, but I started and it's like you don't get like, it's just so good for recovery, for building strength and everything. But like steroids wise, I mean, there's so much stuff I feel like that's out there now. that you can get into, but you know, with how we get drug tested, and it's like,
what, how rigorous is the testing?
So there's like three different phases of it. There's like the street drug, the performance enhancing drug, and then, oh, I can't remember what the third one's called. But we know when we get tested on 420, that one's self-explanatory.
Yeah.
And then we can get tested once in camp for, like, those are for street drugs. And then the PEDs are just like, you can get, it's normally like you do something crazy in a game, you're getting one.
See those on Twitter of like,
guys tweeted, oh, you've been selected for a random drug test. You know, the guy had 4 touchdowns and 280 yards receiving. They're like, it's not random.
Even
you know?
For like punters will hit like a 78 yard bomb. They'll be like, yeah. All right, well, this guy's, I can't believe that the league's drug testing board or team is that lazy. They just wait for cool performances and then choose those guys. It's
I think it was the last time I jumped out of a pool. I was like my rookie year in my apartment complex pool. Boom, drug test the next week. I was like, okay.
I mean, but it's in their defense, you're not supposed to be able to do that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Before you did that, physics thought it was impossible.
Yeah. Ooh, Myles Garrett is,
he might be the one.
11 Myles Garrett? Fact. 11 Myles Garrett?
He's the guy.
I don't know why I just thought of that. He didn't wear sleeves. Normally he wears long sleeves. He didn't wear sleeves one game. They tested him the next
day. They saw his arms and they're like, nope, not literally, real. Not real.
Literally. like this, that can't. That was in a laboratory. There's something.
It had to be in a lab. That has to be fake.
But no, steroids, like, I wouldn't even know the first person to call to try and get steroids.
I could give you some context.
Text me. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, Tristan. No. Tristan, you know what I fucking love about you, man? Is that you don't, there is no, some of these guys that we'll talk to, and I get it, they won't talk about like them drinking beer or even make little jokes like that. Like, yeah, yo, text me your steroid guy. Cause they don't even want to make jokes, but dude, you come on here and make jokes and you're the fucking best, man.
I'm probably going to get drug tested. They're probably going to call
you. You will. You just got popped for that. Cause the NFL, you know, Roger watches our podcast a lot, actually.
He texted us and I told him to fuck off. We don't like him, but,
but it's like, there's so much stuff and like, you know, it's all over social media and everything. Like trend, you know, all these like guys are on trend stuff, you know, on TikTok and all this stuff. So, but there's not a lot of it. And it's crazy that people just come up with these assumptions and rumors that everyone's on steroids.
I think there's legitimately people out there who are just like casuals. Who are just like, oh yeah, all those NFL linemen, they're just on drugs. They're just on sticks. Cause they don't know. They were never athletes themselves. Yeah. And I'm just like, it's like, man, not really. Like, I've had people ask me, like, are those guys like on, like, do they, I'm like, no, dude, they come in as high schoolers and they've already got the blueprint. Yeah. And then they just keep adding to, like, it's just, some people are built different.
Yeah. So it's a
cool compliment, though, to be clean and have everybody accuse you of being on steroids.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's a cool compliment. Just like, hold my dick.
To go past the drug, like, I'm not on steroids. I'm just, you know, like Myles Garrett, he's like, no, I'm past the drug test. I'm fine. Yep. I just have 30-inch biceps.
It blows. Can't pass an anger management test, but he can pass a drug test.
Yeah.
So you guys see the video of them warming up the other day? Like, just, they brought like a basketball hoop out on the field. And they were just having like, yeah, the Browns did. And they were just having like a dunk contest for their warm-up.
Yeah, no wonder they won 4 fucking games a year for the last 3 decades. Playing in the wrong cock-sucking sport.
They're just warming up. Oh, fuck. Cav Dog, you got anything from the road over there? You've been quiet for a while. He's probably on the phone.
Kevin's dead.
He's dead.
He crashed his car.
I got all my questions in, but Tristan, thanks so much for doing this, man.
Absolutely,
boys. We one of these days when the walk-ons really hit it big, you know, we're gonna get a
beach house down on the bay.
Yeah, and like put a studio in it, and then we'll just bring old T Daddy in, and
I'll live there. I'll rent it out from you guys.
Yeah.
Somebody watch the place for us.
Yeah,
we got a good security system in there.
I'll hold it down.
Trust him to protect Tom. He can protect our house.
Yeah, you don't need a security system if you got Tristan.
Oh, yeah, I meant to fucking bring up Tristan's dog, dude. Have you seen his dog?
Oh.
Do you know about Tristan's dog, Kluber?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, Tristan's 360 and his dog's 200. Okay, it's 560.
Yeah, go grab puppy.
Pure killing ability.
What's the breed?
It is a huge mastiff.
Blue here. He's coming.
He's coming.
He's coming. Dude, he's coming.
Wait until you see this big bastard.
Come here.
Oh my God.
He's a
moose. Oh my God. Tristan's huge and that dog damn near.
Come here.
Oh. Oh my God. Dude.
Good boy.
Can you imagine breaking into that house and it's Tristan standing next to that fucking werewolf?
You have a mythical creature in your house.
Dude, he's straight off Harry Potter for real.
I was just going to say, that's the three-headed dog. That's Hagrid's three-headed dog.
That's Fluffy?
Where did you find Fluffy?
Dude, he's a freak.
He is a freak.
How much food does that thing eat?
No free shout outs, but we do the farmer's dog. You know what that is?
Yeah.
And you can put a plan together for him. He eats like 5,000 calories
a day.
Yeah, he eats three of those packs a day. And it's like they're maxed out.
Bro, what?
Tristan's dog.
It's gotta be one of the best clips of this podcast history. We just found out that Tristan's dog eats like a fucking Olympic thrower.
But he's like lean though.
Does he love to run? Does he get up and go?
Yeah, and it's terrifying.
Oh my God, he's a bulldozer.
Like at nighttime, he just runs and it's dark and like he's got like a light on his collar and it's just you see this light, you go.
I want to see that thing do like sled pulls. Can you like get him hooked up to like a prowler?
Dude,
or something?
He could do sled pulls.
He's so strong. Like playing tug of war with him. I didn't give up. I was like, normally I just, you know, you give it to him after a while. We both fell asleep on the couch. He fell asleep with it in his mouth and I passed out holding onto it. Meredith, my girlfriend, she has a picture of it. I was like, we were both passed out. I had it in my hand. He had it in his mouth. We both wouldn't concede.
That is phenomenal.
Speaking of tug of war, oh my God. He's beautiful too.
He is, dude. Did you get him from a breeder somewhere, Tristan?
Yeah, I got him in Texas.
Hell yeah.
Everything's bigger in Texas, huh?
Yeah.
Does he still have balls?
Oh my, he's got peaches on him.
Come on, dog. Bane's got a fat set on him, too.
Peaches, he said. Speaking of tug of war, Tristan, do you remember the harness tug of war?
Yeah.
Did you have any battles on that? Or did you drag everybody into the weight room and all
No,
the
I had me and Big Fluff. Me and Big Fluff would get after it. Because we were like, we're the only ones that were like the same weight. So
yeah, I was going to say.
And you know who else was a shooter? Shooter was a dog at that.
Grimy.
Well, he was already halfway there, down there all the fucking way.
He was so good at that.
Is he the grittiest guy you know?
Yes.
He's got to be, right?
Yes. No doubt.
Let me get you the story of Shooter.
Please.
We're a week and a half into camp my freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
We had like four linemen go down. And we're like, we don't have enough. Shooter was supposed to report after camp was done.
Yeah.
They called him like, yeah, we need you here tomorrow. Shooter's like, okay. Gets dropped off at the facility the next day, practices the next, like does his physical that next morning, then practices. He's like, I'm here.
I remember it. Yeah. Like he just got introduced like at the end of one of the practices. Coach Ferentz like has him stand up. He's like, we got Shooter here. He's going to be joining us for the rest of the camp.
Yeah. And then he just
worked his way into the starting lineup.
And then, just got on scholarship. He's like,
John Milani had a similar camp bring in story, I believe. Milani was out like taking his family's boat, like literally putting it in the water and got a call. It was like, hey, we need you in camp. And he's like, fuck, all right. Coming in. And then you're locked in. All of a sudden you're in the hotel and it's you're locked in. A lot of gritty guys.
Just a lot of grit.
Cream Puff, yep. You got anything for him before he leaves?
Yeah.
Oh man, it's been great catching up with you. Glad to hear how well things are going for you down there. And I'm looking forward to seeing you be like an 8 times bigger version of Arnold Schwarzenegger out there on the field. It's gonna be awesome. You look like just like one of those. You ever see a picture like one of those cows or the one of those bulls that are just super muscular?
The Belgian blue bulls?
At the state, I see.
That's what you
fair.
Are. That's what you are. Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah, I just can't wait to see you keep keep absolutely throttling dudes in the NFL.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Throttle. That's it. Hope you all enjoyed. I don't even have to say it. I know you guys enjoyed T Daddy. We always do. We appreciate your yearly check-in with us. Don't forget about us. We love this. Our fans love this. We'll have you on next year after this season. Go, go make another Pro Bowl.
Let's go, boys.
First
I love it.
All, bro. Tristan, who? Or I mean, Trent, who?
Trent, who?
Still
we'll see. Yeah, we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.